This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, good morning. You are listening to The Morning Run. It's 7:06 on Wednesday, the 12th of January. I'm Shazana Mokhtar together with Wong Xiaoning. We are joining you as the sun is rising over Kuala Lumpur. But as we always do at this hour, we're going to recap how global markets closed yesterday.
Well, it was a pretty good day in the U.S. The Dow was up 0.5%. The S&P 500 was up 0.9%, while the tech-heavy Nasdaq was up 1.4%. Meanwhile, in Asia, not such a good day. The Nikkei was actually down 0.9%. Hang Seng was down marginally by 0.03%. Shanghai was down 0.7%. But our neighbor down south was up 0.6%, while we were up 0.9%.
All right, so some mixed closings there. Joining us on the line for analysis of what's moving global markets, we have Jeffrey Halley, senior analyst at Owanda. Jeff, good morning, and this is our first conversation of the year, so happy New Year to you. So it's been a wild ride for U.S. markets these past few days. It's up after a five-day slide, but do you think markets were reassured by Fed Chair Jerome Powell's comments that it will tamp down inflation?
Yeah, it sort of reminds me of the Goldilocks and the Three Bears fable. So one bear had too much in its bowl, one had not enough in its bowl, but the middle bear had everything that was just right in its bowl. And I think that's what Mr. Powell managed to achieve last night with his comments, keeping that tightening bias to his comments, but not being overly hawkish. And that took the edge off the concerns that we've seen recently about the rise in U.S. yields, which has pushed stocks down. So by just taking a little bit of wind out of that inflation trade, we saw markets recover quite quickly overnight.
But Jeff, I'm curious, are you in the 3-hike camp or in the 4-hike camp? Because the market seems to be initially expecting 3 hikes, but even Goldman Sachs is saying maybe 4. What are your expectations?
Yeah, I'm still in the 3-hike camp. I was there. I've been there for the last couple of months, and I don't think that's going to change. And the main reason for that is because, if anything, the Fed has shown that it has been quite cautious over the last 2 years, and especially when it comes to talking or even mentioning or especially doing anything that might be regarded as tightening monetary policy. I do believe they're going to try and taper very quickly, and that will all be done by March. But I think the market's getting ahead of itself, thinking they'll start hiking immediately at that time as well, particularly because their forecasts and the forecasts of the OECD and the World Bank and all these other think tanks around the world is that inflation will start peaking globally, including the US, in the second half of the year. So they don't necessarily want to start tightening too quickly.
Do you have any projections on how many basis points interest rates will be hiked up at this stage for the whole year?
Yeah, I'm looking at a 325 hike, so that will take us to around about 1% by the end of the year. Now, when we think about that, though, interest rates, real interest rates, will still be negative at that stage. So, yes, monetary policy will be tightening, but it's not going to be monetary Armageddon. Interest rates, real interest rates, so the interest rate adjusted for inflation, will still be negative. So it will still be quite a supportive environment for assets.
What about the Asian central banks? Do you think they'll stay pat at where they are? I mean, they are also at ultra-low rates for themselves. Or do you see them actually being under pressure to raise rates as the Fed moves?
This will be a challenge for Asian central banks this year because Asia's economic cycle is very much not in sync with the United States or even to a certain extent Europe's economic cycle. Now, that's because of this Delta wave that put back their recovery by about 3 to 6 months. So the central banks in Asia are still very much in are focusing on supporting the economic recovery around the region. So I do believe we could see someone like the Bank of Korea tweaking policy a bit higher, possibly Singapore in April. But I think for the rest of Asia, they're going to be very, very reluctant to raise interest rates. And we may only start seeing some of that come through towards the end of 2022. What is that effect going to be? Well, I think what we're going to see are weaker Asian currencies versus the dollar over 2022.
Can I ask about investment strategy, Jeff? Is it time for value stocks now? Is it too early to rotate, or will 2022 be the year for growth again?
Yeah, you know, this is a really hard one because, and the reason I say this is because in my experience, which goes back over many, many years now, too many, is that the first move of the year is usually the wrong one. And the first move of this year has been a rotation into value over growth. So buying something like the Dow Jones and ASEAN markets and selling technology in NASDAQ markets. And we've seen yields move up in the US and we've seen the dollar strengthen, et cetera, et cetera. Now, as I said, that might have got ahead of itself initially in 2022, and we may see a correction back, particularly if Mr. Powell dampens down this tightening fever. I'm not writing off growth stocks this year at all because the environment will still be supportive. I think what we're going to see is a lot more two-way volatility in that pricing, and we're not going to see the same gains that we've seen in the last 2 years from technology. As rates rise, their environment becomes a lot more challenging for them from a valuation point of view.
And staying on the topic of what to buy or what markets to buy, is this the year to look at what were the laggards for 2021? And broadly, I mean two markets did very badly in Asia. One was the Hang Seng Index, and the other one was our very own FBM KLCI.
You know, I'm quite upbeat on Malaysia and Singapore this year because I think we are going to have inflation at will, and we are going to see a continued recovery in the global economy. And a lot of those sort of value-faced industries, which are very much the weighting of Singapore and Kuala Lumpur, will do well in that environment. So I'm expecting a good year there. China is a different story altogether. I think there's a lot of downside risks to China. This property sector debacle has not run its full course, so that could still accelerate. We've got the threat of continued government clampdowns with this shared prosperity policy, but also their COVID zero policy, because most of China has been vaccinated with Sinopharm and Sinovac. Now, that doesn't appear to be very effective against Omicron. They don't really have a booster shot to roll out to offset that. So I'm expecting Hong Kong and China to be COVID zero locked up borders for the rest of this year. So that will crimp growth there. But also it raises the risk that if Omicron gets over the fence, so to speak, that they could find themselves in a bad place. So I think overall, looking at the risks towards China growth this year, I'm not so bullish on Chinese equities through 2022.
And Jeff, can you help us explain why Brent crude is at $83 a barrel at this moment? Is it a demand thing or is it a supply thing?
I think it's a combination of both. So, you know, on the demand side with Omicron, I mean, the markets are now really quite quickly priced in that it's a less aggressive variant than Delta, and it's not going to derail this recovery, particularly in developed markets in the medium term. And thus, the demand will remain robust, particularly if international air travel continues to grow. On the supply side, if you look at the compliance for OPEC Plus over the last 6 months, it's well above 100%. What does that mean? That means that OPEC itself is struggling to pump enough oil to meet its production quotas that it has in place. So there's not a lot of swing production available within OPEC Plus at the moment, unless Iran was to come back into the international markets officially. So we've got a squeeze on both the demand and the supply side, and that's why I believe that oil's fundamentals look very attractive. And we are going to see oil move back towards $100 a barrel for Brent. And that will be a positive, I think, for Malaysian markets as well.
Jeff, thanks very much for speaking to us this morning. That was Jeffrey Halley, Senior Analyst at Owanda, giving us his take on some of the trends that will be moving global markets this week and beyond.
My mouth is open from the $100 per barrel prediction that he has made, right? We've talked to many oil experts and I think they're all like, no, it won't get there. But I don't think anyone expected Brent crude to be at $83 per barrel. It's already up close to 8% on a year-to-date basis. I mean, I know that the world economy is recovering, but there are also a lot of soft spots, China being one big soft spot.
That's right.
So if demand is not going to be robust and OPEC has calmly agreed to raise production by 400,000 barrels at the last meeting, why are oil prices so high at this moment? I'm still puzzled.
Some disconnect happening there, but that's what makes markets so exciting. We'll be following this as it unfolds.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.